The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is one that's very important, as many of them are, and that is colorectal health and cancer prevention. And before we introduce our guests, can you go over some facts about colorectal cancer in New York State and right here in Ulster County?
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as Ulster County goes, cancer is the second leading cause of premature death in Ulster County. And in 2015, and that's the year for which this type of data is currently available, in the United States, over 52,000 people died of colorectal cancer in the United States. And in New York State, over 3,000 people died of colorectal cancer. So it is certainly a problem, but you know, one of the aspects of this is that if colorectal cancer is diagnosed very early on, when there are still polyps in the colon that can be safely removed before cancer develops, that colorectal cancer is potentially curable with screening. And yet, almost 40% of Ulster County residents who should get preventive colorectal cancer screening do not.
Right. There's so few cancers that are preventable or nearly preventable that one should really take advantage of the resources that are out there. And on that note, we have the perfect guest to really delve into this subject and speak from his own experience. And he is Dr. Ari Goldstein, who's a board-certified gastroenterologist in Kingston. Dr. Goldstein is a member of the medical staff at Health Alliance Hospital and practices at Hudson Valley Gastroenterology. He earned his medical degree from Jefferson Medical College of Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. He interned in internal medicine at the University of Illinois Medical Center, did a residency at Mount Sinai Hospital. And before moving here to Kingston, he was a staff physician and clinical instructor of medicine at Harlem Hospital Center, which is affiliated with Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. That's a great resume. Welcome, Dr. Goldstein.
Welcome.
How are you? Thank you. Good to be here. Good today.
Dr. Goldstein, how common is colorectal cancer?
How common is colorectal cancer? Well, you know, it's the prevalence of colon cancer. If you look at varying studies, probably in the population, colorectal neoplasia, so we'll use that term as a blanket statement to cover colon cancer and precancerous polyps, which we'll talk about in a minute, it's probably somewhere between 6 and 8% of people will develop colorectal neoplasia, which can mean precancerous polyps or colon cancer.
Mm-hmm. And so before we talk about what people should do in terms of screening and so on, mm-hmm. can you tell us what colorectal cancer is? What is the, you know, in layperson's terms,
sure.
what it is?
Well, cancer, all cancers have in common, regardless of the tissue of origin, is that they represent rapid and disorganized growth that's different from the organ from which they stem. So, you know, we describe things to the best of our ability based on with the technology available, right? And so cancer actually, interestingly, is, in addition to being a name of a disease, also a name of an astrological sign, because they both represent crabs. And so crabs, and so why is that? Well, because autopsy studies, which was kind of our crudest way of, or grossest way of looking at pathology, you saw tumors that had stellate kind of tendrils that looked kind of like crabs. So they're like, oh, this thing looks like a crab, and so therefore we'll call it cancer. Hmm. So And so from there, you know, we get into like microscopes, right? And microscopes looking at slides of pathology and tissue. And you look at, there's certain features of colon cancer that, you know, on the microscopic level, like that we, that pathologists look at to make the diagnosis. And then beyond that, you know, there's, there are other features of cancer that are more 21st century features that we've been looking at, the molecular biology and the genetics of the cancer.
Uh-huh.
Right? So cancer, like what we call cancers, are an evolving paradigm and could be answered in a lot of different ways. When we think about cancer inside the body, we generally think about growths that are tumors in the setting of cancers that arise from organs like colon or the lung or breast cancer, uh-huh, or prostate cancer. Cancers can also be what we call liquid malignancies, which are your leukemias and lymphomas, which,
right, bone marrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, which affect the blood.
Right.
And precursor cells to the blood. So, for the sake of this conversation, a cancer is a growth that forms in the colon or the large intestine that has the potential to spread beyond that site of origin and cause dysfunction throughout the body and can be fatal.
Mm-hmm. Are there any unique causational factors with colorectal cancer that are different from other types, or do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, colon cancer is not like a, when we think about inheriting disease, you know, some diseases are very, what we call classically Mendelian, meaning that they're genetically inherited, and some you might remember from high school biology are autosomal recessive, autosomal dominant, and you can look at someone's pedigree and see like where, how it was that they inherited that particular disease. Colon cancer is a little bit more complex than that. Because there's many different factors that result in people developing colon cancer, precancerous polyps or not, many of which are biologic or genetic, right? And there's not one specific genetic variant that says this patient will develop colon cancer or will not. There are certain well-described colon cancer hereditary syndromes that are very, very rare, but we do see people who have those diagnoses in our practice. And these are people who come from families with extensive history of colon cancer, usually affecting a family member at a young age with multiple family members involved in multiple generations, and can also be associated with colon with cancers that are not colon cancer. So cancers that are, for example, uterine cancer. Uterine cancer and colon cancer are associated in a condition called Lynch syndrome, which is not hereditary non-polyposis colon cancer is the other name for it. But barring rare syndromes, or relatively rare syndromes like Lynch syndrome, your usual run-of-the-mill colon cancer is sporadic disease, meaning that it's not one specific genetic factor that allows for it, but certain amount of changes that happen to the lining of the colon over time that are predetermined by genetics but influenced by environmental factors that result in colon cancer.
Would that be like toxins or diet or some things like that?
There's always a big talk about risk factors for cancer in our diet, and it's probably safe to say that it's accepted as well established that excessive red meat, particularly processed meat, particularly in male patients, has been associated with colon cancer. Excessive alcohol intake is another factor that's been associated with colon cancer. The trouble is that there's not really prospective studies to say definitively what the degree of risk is. It's only looking retrospectively. So sometimes it can become guilt by association. So, you know, what behaviors are associated with, well, confounding variables. Like, well, this patient might, population of patients, did they all have a age-appropriate colon cancer screening? So the biggest risk factor behaviorally is really non-compliance with colon cancer screening, which is important to consider because most colon cancer is preventable disease.
That's really interesting, Dr. Goldstein, and we want to hear a lot more about it, and particularly screenings and how people can go about preventing colorectal cancer. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room, where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 Minutes or Less ER Pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 Minutes or Less ER Pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care here.
Are you or someone you know struggling with opioid use or addiction? Don't go it alone. Ulster County has great services and people to help. You can find them all online at ulsterhelps.org. That's ulsterhelps.org. Ulster County also has a family advocate, an experienced local professional who can help you find the best treatment programs and services for your needs and help answer questions about insurance coverage. Opioid use issues can be confusing and overwhelming, but you don't have to go it alone. Visit ulsterhelps.org, ulsterhelps.org, or call the Ulster County Family Advocate at 845-458-7455. That's 845-458-7455. A message from the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation, and today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest is Dr. Ari Goldstein, who is a gastroenterologist in Kingston. Dr. Goldstein, before the break, we were talking about the great importance of doing colorectal screening as the main preventive measure, really, for combating colorectal cancers. Can you go into a little bit more detail about screening, the different types are available, and what you would recommend?
Sure. Before that, I think just screening, a word about screening. So screening, a screening exam, a health screening exam, means that you're having a procedure or an examination done, not for any particular symptom, right? Which is important. So, you know, a lot of times I get asked, well, why should I worry about colon cancer? I feel fine and, you know, I don't. And the definition of screening is for asymptomatic people. So screening is different than a diagnostic procedure. So diagnostic procedure is I have a problem or a symptom, and so there I'm going to go to a doctor and figure out what's going on. So that's important to specify. As far as what the modalities of screening are, there's we'll talk about three different kind of modalities. First, we'll talk about colonoscopy. And colonoscopy is a procedure that I perform. And colonoscopy is an optical test, meaning it uses a fiber optic camera that's flexible. It's inserted through the anus and examines the large intestine directly. The advantages of colonoscopy are, one, in the hands of an experienced practitioner, it has very, very good sensitivity and for looking for precancerous growths called polyps. And then the other piece of it is that it's also potentially therapeutic. So you have a colonoscopy, and if you have a colon polyp that's found, it can be removed then and there. So thereby, you know, obviating your risk at that time for that one polyp to, in theory, develop to grow and potentially grow into a colon cancer. The downsides of it are it is an invasive procedure. However, what people fail to realize is that we work with anesthesiologists who render you completely unconscious for the duration of what's usually a 15-minute procedure. And the prep is preparing for the colonoscopy does require that you clean out your colon, which is probably not as bad as many people think and has gotten better over the years.
It's gotten much better.
You know, yeah. So colonoscopy is the mainstay of my practice. There, unfortunately, as you're aware, Dr. Smith, there is not the greatest compliance rate to colon cancer screening writ large. So there's room for improvement. And so there are other modalities that I'll talk about if you're absolutely steadfast against not having colonoscopy. There are stool tests that you can perform, and there's two kinds of stool tests. There is a stool test which will be called a fecal immunohistochemistry test, or sometimes a guaiac test, which will screen for the presence of microscopic blood in the stool. And then there's another test that's more recently on the market called a Cologuard test. So these tests are different in what they're looking for. So the tests designed for microscopic bleeding are tests that are designed to evaluate for the fact that colon cancers, which quickly can outgrow their blood supply and ulcerate and bleed, will cause internal bleeding. Sometimes it's not evident. And so it's a test to see if there's blood in your stool to suggest that whether or not you have a colon cancer. Now, there's two major drawbacks to this. One is that colon polyps, the precursors to colon cancer, don't bleed, so it's not a preventative test. And two is the sensitivity of this test is so high, meaning it's so sensitive to pick up even the smallest amount of blood, and the specificity is quite poor. So specificity means that if this test says there's a problem, then the problem is there. And oftentimes this test is positive, and in case of colon cancer, you find nothing. So it tends to create a lot of anxiety for people. Cologuard is a newer test that capitalizes off of the genetics of colon cancer, looking for what it is. It's not a test for blood, it's a test of the actual colonic epithelium. So epithelium means the lining of the colon, and whenever time you have a bowel movement, what you're doing is you're shedding lining cells of the colon that are constantly regenerating. Takes those cells and looks at them for specific genetic markers that are associated with the development of polyps. The diagnostic accuracy of Cologuard is also not far from perfect, in the sense that many Cologuards, close to 50% of them, in my practice, it's probably between 40 and 45%, which I think reflects some data that's been published, are what we call false positives. So you have the Cologuard test, you subsequently then go for a colonoscopy, and you find nothing, and it leaves question about what the significance of that is. And I don't think we know the answer to that yet.
I can relate.
So I think you would say, though, that the colonoscopy is the gold standard, because that direct visualization does allow the doctor to see that polyp in a very early stage and remove it. So you're really doing the ultimate, not only detecting it early, but removing it and potentially then preventing the disease from going on and developing.
That's correct.
And certainly if you've got a family history, a father, a mother, a primary relative that's had colon cancer, it would be recommended that you begin doing those colonoscopies and at a somewhat earlier age than the 50 years of age that most people are recommended to having it. Because there are some polyps which are relatively slow growing, and it would take a little bit longer, if you can detect them at an earlier age, certainly, you may then offset the predisposition, if it were a predisposition, to developing it due to a genetic kind of a link.
Mm-hmm. The procedure is pretty, as you said, Dr. Goldstein, with anesthesia, it's really over. I remember one time I went and I was there, and I said, when are you guys going to get started? And they said, you're done. Yeah. Basically,
the anesthesia. The just anesthesia put, yeah, is it was much over. More benign. The and it was, prep time and the measures that you have to take to do proper prep are certainly better than they were 10, 15 years ago.
And it really is a tremendous feeling when you speak to your doctor and he or she, says, you're good. We only found one, or we found none, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That feeling of like, I really did my part, and I'm protecting myself. So doctor, just by way of clarification, so mm-hmm. When you find a polyp, then you they're removed immediately. And what is the is there a certain number that you find on average, or do most have none, or do have
well,
some?
Well, we look at where is it? That's a good question. So the prevalence of polyps, as far as how frequently we find them, this has become an important point in practice. We know that the polyps are fairly prevalent, and we know that if you're doing colonoscopy enough in patients who are of appropriate age, for an average risk person, that means 50 or older, that you should be finding enough polyps. So they call this there's something called an adenoma detection rate, which is adenoma or adenomatous polyps, or the kind of polyps that we look for that have precancerous potential, and so how frequently we find them. And I'd say that we find polyps somewhere between 25 to sometimes 35% of the time, depending on the practitioner.
Mm-hmm. And if they're removed, it's you're pretty good to go.
Again, for most colon cancers that we deal with, your typical colon cancer follows a very traditional what we call adenoma carcinoma pathway, meaning that you first have a polyp form, and then something else, like a second hit, if you will, genetically happens, and it gives that. What you'd call maybe high grade dysplasia, changes of disorganized tissue within that polyp, kind of allow it to grow beyond its bounds and become a cancer, and then can potentially metastasize.
Mm-hmm. And what is the interval that people should get screenings of any kind? What is it?
Well, index screening should be at 50 years old. Mm-hmm. And then depending if it's a negative colonoscopy, I recommend 10 years mm-hmm. for an mm-hmm. average risk person.
Dr. Goldstein, if our listeners want more information on preventing colon cancer and colon health, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call. Our office number is 845-331-8222. Or if they'd like, they can actually stop by. We're right on Pearl Street, right across from the Glass Menagerie.
And that's Hudson Valley Gastroenterology.
Hudson Valley Gastroenterology.
Terrific. That's all the time we have for today. Unfortunately,
you.
You're listening
thank
to.
You very much.
Thank you. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.